We're going to turn our Bibles to the book of James chapter 2, and I'm just continuing my class in here, so I hope you enjoy that, and we're going to have a good time this morning. If we don't have a good time this morning, just blame Julie. She's a good one to blame. You're right in my vision, so. But anyway, my goal is to, we're going to go through at least seven verses this morning. And we're going to talk about the importance of not the wealth of this world, because we all know that it's all going to go away. It's just a matter of time before Christ comes back and takes us as a church into glory with him. And everything that we acquired here on earth is going to vanish. It's going to go away. So all that hard work, all that blood, sweat, and tears that we put in everything, gone in a blink of an eye. And you begin to think about that, that's a pretty amazing picture. We spent a majority of 40, 50 years of our lives trying to accumulate so many things, and just poof, out of nowhere, it's going to be gone. And that's because Christ is going to keep his promises, he's going to come back for us. But I believe we don't need to focus on the wealth of this world, but I believe we need to focus on what wealth should be for us, and that should be, we should be rich in our faith in God. And that's the title of this lesson this morning, is just rich in faith. And that's what we need to have. So let's go ahead and turn to the book of James chapter 2. I've heard a lot of you folks already turn there, and I have not yet to turn there. I got to get warmed up to the crowd. That's how it works sometimes. And now we're going to spend the next 45 minutes, if that, in God's word. And we're going to begin reading verse number 1. It says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good old place, in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called?" Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we're able to gather around here today in your word. And God, I pray that you would use me today to speak to your people. Lord, you know the struggles that I've had these last few days of trying to get clarity from you and how to go in the direction that you'd want me to go. God, obviously, I have notes in front of me, but Lord, if there's something on this that you don't want to be said or even heard, I pray, Lord, that you would delete those things. God, I pray that you just challenge us from your word. Lord, help us to seek a blessing from your word. We come here today to hear from you. And so, God, I pray that you just allow us to see the blessings that you have for us. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. As I begin reading this first part of the passage, bear with me just a little bit before I even get going. I always go back in my mind the poor of this world, the people that we snub our noses at. And I don't know if you've noticed, but in our town in the last several years, we have become really known as a place for a lot of homeless people. And I can take you in many different areas of this town, and I can show you the poor of this town. And as I begin to look at these folks, I see that they would have all of their possessions that they've ever had on this earth piled up into a grocery cart or a trash bag, or even sometimes they would put it in their sleeping bags. And that's how they live. Some of them seem very content where they're at. Some seem as if they're lost. How did I end up here? Why am I here? Why am I missing out on the other things of this world that I once had? And as I begin to see these faces, because I do take the time to drive around to these places, I've taken my wife on a few different occasions and my daughter just to open up their eyes a little bit, to let them know how fortunate we really are. And I'm not rich by any means. I just know that I'm more fortunate than some people. And we would drive by some places, and I'd point out, there's a guy right there in the middle of nowhere laying in a sleeping bag trying to get some sleep. And you'd go around, and you'd see other people experiencing similar situations. You'd also go down just a little bit further. You would see vehicles stacked high with what we would probably consider junk. It was their prized possessions. They would put blankets in their windows to block out the light. That's where they would spend their night, and that's where they would spend their days. It's all over this town. Again, I can show you every piece of this town where they're at. A few years ago, I was in New Orleans with my brother, both of my brothers. And for some reason, we went on the cemetery tour. I know that seems gothic. I understand those things. We have cemetery here. I don't go tour those. But as I remember, we were going underneath the bypass, and we saw literally hundreds of people just sleeping underneath the bridges. That is what our world has become in the last several years, partially due to inflation that is brought on by our country. People can no longer afford the things that they used to be able to afford. Can't even afford gas anymore. I don't know about you, have you noticed gas has jumped up? I went to the gas station yesterday. I don't really care to go to the one down here in 35th and Broadway. There's two of them. But I went there last night because it was 14 cents cheaper than it was any other place in town. I got out and I began to put my card in there. I have one of those smart chips. It wouldn't take it, so I put my card in there. And it seemed like eternity went by. It wouldn't take my card, so I went in there. I was frustrated, man. I was about ready to blow the clerk to pieces. It's like, and it wasn't his fault. And I went in there and I said, "Hey, your pumps aren't working out there for my card." He goes, "Sir, that's a good thing you came in, because by you coming in and prepaying, you save yourself an extra 5 cents." And I said, "Hallelujah to that. I'll come in every single time now." But anyway, inflation, things have gone up. And so I begin to think about the less fortunate of this world. And the reason why I think about it more and more is because that's exactly who Jesus is drawn to. You look in Scripture, that's who he's drawn to. Those are the folks that realize that they are in need of something. They are the folks that are more willing to listen to a message that is going to be given to them. So I'm going to encourage you, as you begin to see these people throughout our town and even in Omaha, don't look down on them. I would encourage you to roll down your window with caution and give them a track so that they can know of who Jesus is. Your little act of kindness can give them a home that they don't have to a future home in glory. That's eternal riches. And that's what we need to think about and how we should really live our lives when it comes to that type of a lifestyle. So that's what my mind is drawn to as I go through this particular chapter this week. And God has brought so many things to my mind. So as we begin to go on, the world that we live in today, without a doubt, will judge a man by his outward appearance. And we do that on a daily basis. You and I are guilty of that very same thing. We judge somebody by how they are on the outside, but we never begin to look at the person's heart. We judge somebody for what they say, how they look, how they act, but we don't get to know the individual's heart. So unfortunately, you don't see the heart of the person by the way he dresses. And when we see a person who isn't dressed so well, we will dismiss that individual from society, and we'll miss out on probably getting to know a great individual, a great person. So why is dress so important to people? And why should we not get caught up in all the glamour when we see the apparel of man, the apparel of people that catches the eye of man? We're captivated by those things. I can remember years ago, you can turn on the TV, when Hollywood was having one of those premier award ceremonies that they have. They'd have their red carpet thing before they even get in, and they would have a reporter on the outside, and they see a star walking in, and they say, "Hey, what are you wearing today?" It would catch their eye, and they'd want to elaborate on the dress or the tuxedo or the suit that they're wearing, because we're caught up in how people look on the outside. But I'm going to tell you this: God is not concerned with your outward appearance. God is concerned with your heart. That's what He's concerned with. God is not interested in how we dress. He's interested in the heart of the man. And just because you might wear a nice suit or a nice dress, if you are a lady, to church doesn't indicate that you have given your heart to God. This suit of mine, this tie of mine, it's nothing. It means absolutely nothing unless I have given my heart to God. I have known these type of people just mentioned. They put on their nice suit, they put on their nice dress, and they can become the cruelest individuals around, having no love or respect for the average church person, and not to mention, no respect for themselves. That's very true. I'm going to go on, and I'm going to give you some illustrations of the type of a world that we live in when it comes to the outward appearance. And there's going to be some things, I might hear some people gag, to be honest with you. Or you might chuckle just because you might be disgusted about this. But most of us here today, we have probably have heard the name, or we might even know the individual as LeBron James. He is a big basketball figure in this world. He came onto the scene right out of high school. He was that good. Got into the NBA right away at the age of 17 and a half, 18 years of age, and that's a very rare thing. He had great physical abilities to play with grown men at his level. And at the age of 36, he is still doing that, still performing very high. And a lot of people look up to this individual here. But a few years ago, after being in the league for about 15 years, he was always known for making somewhat of a glamorous entrance in the world's eyes, but he decided to make a glamorous entrance into the stadium before the game that day, and the cost alone is going to floor you. He decided to spend an average man's salary for the year on an outfit with the accessories to go with it. You're talking about the gay apparel here. You're talking about the gold ring that is mentioned here in James chapter 2. So I'm going to give you the cost, and please don't cry. The suit and tie, I shouldn't say the suit tie, the tie that just goes with the suit, not the jacket itself, but the tie and the handkerchief, were a staggering price of $2,500. And you want to blow your nose into that handkerchief? You better have some gold coming out of there. The shirt alone was $300. The suit shorts, it wasn't pants, it was shorts that day. The suit shorts were around $1,000. I thought buying a pair of shorts for $10 was a bargain. The socks and the boots that he was wearing that day cost $1,300. That's not including the glasses that he had on. That's not including the headphones that he had with him. But the big price tag came with one other piece of accessory that he carried in with him that day. And that was an alligator bag that cost him $41,000. And they were captivated by his gay apparel. That's what the Word of God calls it. They were enthralled with this, and they kept talking about this, and it was in the news for the next month or so. 41,000. If any of you ladies have a purse worth $41, could you imagine a $41,000 purse? I'm sorry, LeBron James, but that's what it was. You was carrying a purse. Well, what is this point here? Millions of people are attracted to LeBron James, and they don't know who he really is. And they pay the big money just to watch him play ball. They're giving to his cause. Just to give you a little bit of thought that you can know LeBron James just a little bit more. And I'm not taking away from his basketball skills. I'm not taking away from his championships that he's won. That's not my intent here. But LeBron James is known for his thoughts about socialism. And at times he mocks our Constitution, especially when it comes to free speech. These are things that he doesn't think that we should be allowed to have. The outside of a person can be very deceiving. And we need to use spiritual discernment and not get caught up in the glamour as well. He's all about the outward appearance. The sad thing, as I mentioned about LeBron James, is he's probably got more money than you and I could ever imagine. Without Jesus Christ, you have nothing. I'd rather be rich in faith, I'd rather be rich in God, than trying to acquire all the wealth that this world has to offer, and someday quickly it'll vanish. It'll burn. And I'm not just going to pick on LeBron James, but I'm going to switch over to Hollywood for just a minute. Some of you have probably heard this name. I've heard this name many times. I promoted his movies. I shouldn't say promote. I've watched his movies. I've watched him in the early stages as he began his wrestling career. Yes, I used to be a wrestling fan. Back in the day when it was good guy against bad guy. And now I have no idea what a good guy or bad guy is in there. They're all, in my opinion, fools. I can't even stand to watch it. Makes my eyes sick. I don't understand why that's even promoted when men get on there and they slap women around these days. That alone ought to turn you off. But Dwayne Johnson, he's a former wrestler, and now he's an actor, and has made it big in this industry. While most struggle to buy a home and wonder if the bank will ever approve them for the loan that they're going after. And the loans that they're probably going after for are, in our minds, probably anywhere from $100,000 to $300,000 homes, if not maybe a little bit more. And they sit back and they wait anxiously, seeing if the bank's going to give them the loan for it, and some get accepted, some get denied. So here we have a former wrestler star, a movie star, that went out and spent over $28 million on a home in California. That's just one of his homes. It's just one. See, he's caught up in this glamour lifestyle too. It's all about the outward appearance. But if you're not rich in faith, what do you have? You have nothing. We have nothing when it's about the mighty dollar. See, money itself is not bad. It's for the love of money. And there are many people out there that love money. That drives them. That's their driving force. That's why they get up every single day to go to work. They want to get this, that, and the other thing. It's what we do. But I'd rather be rich in faith than wasting my time on things that really aren't going to matter in eternity. I'm just being honest with you. And I understand that these two gentlemen that I mentioned, these are just two of them. I understand it's their money, and they've earned it. And they have every right to do with what they want to do with it, just the same way that you have every right to do what you want to do with yours. And I know at times, even with the Rock, that's what he's known as, he's a giving person. He'll pay off people's debts. He takes care of the people that are around him. But when it comes to talking about his religious beliefs, he's not very outspoken about it. You can look up his bio page and it just says Christian. That's all it says. Nothing else. There's no elaboration on it. It doesn't talk about his faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't talk about his relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't talk about how he might have salvation through Jesus Christ. It just says Christian, and that's the generic thing today. As you go out in this world, yes, I'm a Christian. There's more to that than what we realize. So when we focus on the rich, what do we tend to normally do? We tend to forget about the poor. We forget about the poor, the ones who really don't have much. And these are the ones, as I said earlier, these are the ones that Jesus is drawn to the most. These are the ones that Jesus has compassion on. He has compassion on everybody, don't get me wrong. But he shows it to the poor. I've asked a few friends of mine their thoughts on what this chapter means to them, because I was trying to feel some folks out. And I got one response back, and so I wrote it down word for word. And so I'm going to give this to you this morning. And I thought it was very good, and it was encouraging to me. It helped me to see this chapter a little bit more clearly. It says, respects a person's goes much beyond wealth. Respect a person should be based on the fact that every person is a creation of God. I thought, wow, that's well said. He cares enough to send his son to die for all. He knows their name and the number of the hairs on their head. And he closes with this statement that really opened up my eyes to the rest of this chapter. Seven simple words. Write them down. He cares about how we treat them. He cares about how we treat them. Man, I couldn't have said it any better than that. I thought, wow, that's some good stuff there. And so I figured this morning that as that was given to me, I wanted to turn around and share that with you. So let's read this again to let it stick in our mind. Respect a person goes much beyond wealth. Respect a person should be based on the fact that every person is a creation of God. He cares enough to send a son to die for all. He knows their name and the number of hairs on their head. He cares about how we treat them. I'm going to go just a little bit further than that. He cares, church, about how we treat each other. Amen? He cares about how we treat each other. And we need to be careful on what we say and how we act and who we run our mouths to, because he cares on how we treat each other. The rich, the wealthy, when it comes to faith, they usually have no faith at all. They truly believe in themselves and nothing else. They have put their faith in themselves rather than putting in God. Hey, look at what I have accomplished. Look at what I have given myself. I've got all this because of me. Not giving God any recognition at all for what he has done in their life. After all, wasn't it God that gave them the talent to do the very thing to acquire their wealth? It was God that gave that to them. Which is why I like the fact, and I know some of them don't really mean it, but some do. But at the end of some sporting events, they go and they talk to the star player that day who stood out the most. And they'll go and talk and they'll say, hey, man, you had a great game. And their response is, first of all, I want to give thanks and glory and honor to the God Almighty who gave me this talent. I respect athletes like that. because they're recognizing they're not able to be on the field or on the court or anywhere else if it wasn't for God giving them the talent to do what they do on the court or on the field. Some of those guys are very wealthy. Some of those guys are some good Christians. There's some that are out there. And they recognize the fact and they give God glory for those things. But not all wealthy think this way, but a majority do. And they need God just as much as the poor man. Verse 5 is key here. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? God has chosen the poor of this world. And then he goes on, he makes a statement, they are rich in faith. What are you rich in today? The poor of this world, they're rich in their faith. Without faith, we have nothing. What do you mean by nothing? We have no hope. We have no future. And we have no inheritance. The faith that is being talked about here is faith in God. That faith alone will give us more riches than this world can ever offer. But we're always trying to seek to gain from this world that in return is going to give us nothing. You know, I often think about, what if we invested our time into the loss of this world the way that we do with the things that we want to acquire ourselves here? I mean, think about it. We'll put money aside to maybe buy something later down in life. We'll go in and we'll work some overtime and we'll take on some extra jobs to get a piece of equipment or something that we've had our harsh desire on for a long time. And then we acquire that thing, and then it's the newness wears off within a week or two. Anybody been there? I have. What if we put all that time and all that energy and all that effort and start investing into this world that needs Jesus Christ? Think about that statement just for a little bit. We're here just for a short time. The book of James says our life is like a vapor. But we spend more time doing our things, doing what we want, doing what we desire, trying to build our wealth upon this earth instead of trying to do the work of Jesus Christ. As a believer, as a child of God, you and I are not called to serve this world. We are called to serve Jesus Christ. We are called to help him fill the Great Commission. Let that sink in just a little bit. Because without faith, we have nothing. We need to allow people not only see our faith, but show them that they can have faith in God as well. In the wealthy man's view, the faith of a believer is laughed at today. You can turn on your televisions and you can watch the news. By the way, my life has been so much better since about January of this year. I cut out the news. I'm not kidding you. I mean, my hair got a little darker, can't you tell? Says a joke. But I gave up the news. I got tired of turning on the news and just watching everything and becoming so depressed about everything. But I gave that up, man. I tell you what, that was great in my life. But you can turn that on and you can hear people talk about believers and they'll laugh and they'll mock at them. They'll ridicule them publicly. They despise our belief in God. And they will blaspheme the name of God as well. But at the same time, we continue to support their movies, the sports that they play in, and so forth. And I often wonder how much of our dime is going towards those things instead of investing into the work of God. Think about that. I heard a preacher say this a couple of weeks ago. I wish I can take credit for this. And in this statement, he's talking about world missions. He's talking about the importance of giving to the church mission fund so that missionaries can go forth from the church and they can give the gospel to lands that we can't take, that we can't go to ourselves. And in the statement, he says, he's closing up, and I was listening very intently to this, and I was wanting to gather some information. And towards the end of this, he says it like this. I'm trying to gather my thoughts. He says, if you want the gospel to go further into this world, the light back home has to shine brighter. You know what he's saying? He's saying, people, you need to invest your time, your lives in the church that God has called you to serve and worship. And that's what we need to do. But instead, our thoughts, our desires are captivated by other things. We get distracted. The light becomes dim. The gospel doesn't get shared as far as it should be. Why? Because the light is not as bright as it should be back at home. So I'm going to ask you a question. Is being wealthy wrong? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God has blessed his people financially. Most have in return blessed others as well along the way. But I will say this, wealth should not keep you from serving God. If you want to have Warren Buffett's lifestyle, go for it. But I will tell you this, you'll be absolutely miserable without Jesus Christ in your life. God gave it to you, and he can take it away from you. I've read of so many stories of believers that have put their businesses ahead of God, started skipping church here and there, putting their focus on the business instead of God. And for the life of them, they couldn't figure out why they kept spiraling into debt and the doors closed. In the eyes of the wealthy, I am considered a poor man. But in reality, I'm much better off than the rich of this world. For my faith is in God. My eternal home, my kingdom, is with God Almighty. I have a heavenly home awaiting me. I have a mansion that has prepared for me that has far more value than $28 million. Because my Father made it for me. And I will spend eternity with him. So the next time that you see someone less fortunate that I described earlier on in the message, don't look down at them. Give them Jesus. This town is full of people who need Jesus. Some are worse off than we are. Some by choice. Some by loss of a job. But I do know this. They need Jesus Christ. They need the same Jesus that you have. I see this on a daily basis. But I have come to understand this group of people that Jesus would go and give them the gospel. Why? He had respect unto them. He had respect unto them, and so should we. To be rich in faith makes you the wealthiest person alive. It's not about what we acquire here in this earth. You can have your beautiful homes, you can have your cars, you can have all those things. And I'm not against those things. You say, well, Chad, it sounds like you're against those things. No, can I tell you something? I did something fun yesterday. I went out and bought a new gun. See, I'm not against those things. So don't think for a second that I'm against having some things that bring some excitement into your life. You're saying, Chad, you bought a gun? Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. It's a shotgun. It's got a pro mag that comes with it. It can hold 18 shells in it. It looks pretty cool. Want to see some pictures? I'll show it to you later, but I'm going to charge you $1 a picture so I can gain my money back. So I'm not against those things. So don't think that for a second. But I am against it when they come first instead of God. You might say, well, Chad, I hear you talk negative about sports. No, I'm not against sports. I'm a very sportsy guy. I play golf. I play basketball. I love those things, but I'm against it when they take place in front of God. When those things are more important than being in God's house. That's when I'm against those things. So I want you to understand where I'm trying to get at. Well, you sound like he's all against those things. No, I'm not against them. But when that becomes your sole focus, and God's just sitting back there waiting for you to serve him, to increase your faith in him, yeah, that's what I'm against it, folks. I want you to understand that a little bit better for me. To be rich in faith, that is what is important. Rich in faith. Let me ask you a question as I close. How's your faith in God today? Has it grown? Has it weakened? Or do you even have any faith in God? And my friend, if that's you, there's something you can do about that. And I hope that towards the end of the next service, you'll see that very plainly. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the faith to put in you. Lord, I pray as we go about our week, as we begin to see people who are less fortunate than we are, that we would have a heart of compassion that you had and share the gospel with them, not to look down upon them, but Lord, look at them as a soul that is in need of you. They need you in order to get to heaven. Lord, without us passing out a tract or knocking on the door, Lord, they can go to hell for eternity. God, we have an important job here. And Lord, I know I've harped on this in the last months, in the last probably years. But God, it's so important. And you know that. And I pray, Lord, that we would catch that vision. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.